It's 1010, make a wish. Did you ever hear that thing? When you look at a clock,
no.
If it's like 1010 or 1111 or 919 or something. No, it has
12,
to be
12.
Yeah.
12.
It has to be. Then you make a wish.
And
if you don't look at the clock until it changes to the next minute, then your wish will come true.
Oh, I bet that's accurate.
Oh, it's 10:11.
I didn't look yet. You're trying to sucker me into looking. I want my wish to become true, and it's that it'll stop raining.
Now, I used to work with somebody years ago, Wendy, who believed that on the first day of the month, if you said the words rabbit, rabbit at the beginning, the same thing would happen. Your wishes, all your wildest dreams will
stupid.
Come true.
That one's
idiotic. But this one...
That's a Wally Phillips thing.
Oh, is
rabbit,
it really?
Rabbit?
Yeah, rabbit, rabbit,
oh,
rabbit.
Oh, yeah, we always used to do that.
Who stole it from Wally Phillips then?
People stole everything from Wally Phillips.
Everything. Most of what we do is stolen from Wally. He was the trendsetter, and then the rest of us followed the path.
I mean, even years later, just as a joke, we'd see each other and say, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Right?
Whenever
we give away tickets to Mi Casa Su Casa restaurant,
it's My Place 4.
My Place 4, that was from Wally. We still do that. Whenever Trooper Link Hampton is on with us, that was originally from Wally.
Nope, that was not from Wally.
Oh, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Where did that come from?
Well, Spike mostly. I don't know when he started.
Oh, I thought that was a Wally
thing. Maybe he started with Wally. I don't know.
And you're emceeing the Walk of Fame?
I was supposed to.
Hampton's already in. Although, you don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a voice on Friday?
I don't have much of one now.
It sounds sexy once.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Sound like Lenny and Squiggy.
Oh, Mary, that is sexy.
That is sexy.
It's a little bit.
That is
hello,
sexy.
Levine.
Hello, Levine. my voice decided
what happened to you?
I don't know.
Allergies?
No, it started yesterday and got worse and worse, and now today it sounds like this. So I'm just going to nod a lot during the show. You say stuff and I'll just nod.
That's the interesting thing about being
like that, exactly.
on the radio
when you're sick. It's like people can totally tell.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have a cold. You don't have allergies, but you have something that settled in your throat. What'd you eat?
Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing strange.
That's weird. You just get laryngitis.
Yeah.
Especially when you work in radio.
Right. Where you don't really use your voice much at all. I talked a lot over the weekend.
Why?
Like more than usual. I did, you know, Jimmy Pardo, frequent guest on the show.
Oh, that's
he
right.
did his podcast on Saturday.
You blew your voice out.
So there was that. Then there was a big going away. There was a big retirement party for a woman that I knew as a child who I hadn't seen in 30 years. And that was really nice. But that was a lot of talking. A lot of fans of the show came up, said to say hello to you.
Oh,
and I took a lot of what I call jealousy pictures. And I'll explain what that is. So a woman would come up and say, my husband loves you and Wendy. Please take a picture with me. He'll be so jealous.
Oh,
so I did three or four of those. Yeah.
I've had that happen.
Yeah. So, so a lot of screaming and yelling and that. And then you already know this, but much like what you went through a couple months ago with your dog, my daughters lost their rabbit over the weekend. And that was a high stress situation.
It's really a sad thing. You had mentioned that Kylie surprised you and your wife, and Reese for that matter, probably, and came home for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I'm glad Kylie was home for the send-off.
I am too.
Because she would have felt, I mean, I don't know her, I'm just guessing, but I'm pretty sure she would have felt bad she wasn't here for it.
There's no doubt about that. Now, something occurred to me. As we've mentioned on the show once or twice, I'm not really a pet person. If people like pets, have 1,000 of them if you love them, but they're not for me.
Right.
So the rabbit and I kind of coexisted in the same house. You know, the rabbit would stay in Reese and Kylie's room. It was like there was an invisible fence at their door. It just didn't want to leave the room. It just stayed in the room. It
That's
felt very
amazing
secure
to me.
In there. But there was a decision that needed to be made because it had the rabbit had a collapsed lung. So the decision had to be made. The rabbit could have been kept alive through means of like a respirator.
For the rest of its life?
I think so. I know, that's no way to live. Mm. So the decision had to be made for the rabbit to be put to sleep, right? And I think part of the sadness for my daughters, and I'm sure you went through the same exact thing, is you say, not only are we losing a pet, but we had a hand in this.
I know.
Even though it's not your fault, you've consciously made a decision for that pet to no longer exist. And I think that plays into the sadness.
It sucks. It sucks to make that decision. You kind of wish your pets would die on their own so you don't have to play God, basically. Yeah. But you also owe it to that pet, being its owner, to let it go easily.
Right. I wonder how often that happens anymore, that pets die on their own. I almost never hear...
Steve, honestly, unless there's some... I know two people that they were throwing a ball for their dog, and the dog was like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, running to get the ball, just keeled over, died.
Wow. Really?
And that was like some weird heart defect that they found out later. But other than that, we do so much... like healing and prevention, that the dogs are living longer,
right.
And then you have to, then you're faced with that dilemma.
You know, what, every dogs are on a leash all the time now. They're invisible fences. Then you don't see many dogs getting hit by cars like they used
right.
to.
Right. It probably still happens, but for some reason you just don't hear about it being as often as it used to.
But, we used to live in the country, and dogs on the farms would come out and chase cars. I mean, you know, it's a cliche.
Yeah.
But they would literally chase the cars right along the wheels.
Yeah.
And get killed?
No, it's amazing how they didn't get killed, but they'd be almost like trying to bite the wheels of the cars.
But even like Tiki was on liver medication towards the end, so you're giving them these supplements to prolong their life,
right.
But then they don't die.
Right. Right.
So, poor rabbits.
Yeah.
They don't have little iron lungs for bunnies?
I don't know that that's been invented yet, but... and not that the cost entered into this, but they explained to my wife what it would cost to continue to keep the rabbit on either a ventilator or for a while there was an oxygen... They called it an oxygen tent, but it was the size of a hamster cage, and the rabbit was in there with juiced up oxygen. And it's an expensive ordeal, you know?
And it's not like... I mean... The rabbit wasn't in the cage all the time,
right.
So this is not...
Yeah, I know. So
How much?
It was handled, you don't want to know. It's too much. But then I kept thinking, and I know this is like way deeper the thinking, way deeper thought than it needed, but I kept thinking, we live in a world here where...
live in a world!
You can decide... that your pet's quality of life is such that it can't continue, but it's still, it's a much harder call, of course, and it should be for human beings. But what would you want? I mean, I saw my daughters all weekend with their heads hung low because it was a rabbit that had to be put to sleep. What would it be like if it was a person and you make that decision?
Well,
that must just be...
A person can tell you.
In some cases.
I mean, yes, if they have their faculties,
right.
They can say, listen...
It's time...
I kind of don't deny what Dr. Kevorkian did.
Seriously.
I know that sounds terrible.
I'm with you 100% because sometimes you just reach a point where the quality of life is such that you just go, I don't want to live this way anymore. And I know that morally there's a lot of people who go, well, that's, you have to embrace the gift of life. And believe me, nobody embraces that gift more than me. I really do.
I know.
But if push comes to shove and you go, I can't live this way. You know,
I know.
So that's why my voice is cached.
Well, you sound like me after I've gone to a concert. Seriously, because
I know.
First of all, I sing along, much to the chagrin of everyone next to me. But also, like if you are in a bar where a band is playing or something,
yeah.
You talk very loudly,
yeah.
And then you cash. That's just so awesome. You bring me back to the 70s. We have Yes tickets to give away, which is also bringing me back to the. I've seen all good people.
It all fits.
Oh,
in.
I can't wait.
All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Sexy.
Thanks.
If you need me to, you know, help pick up the slack today in the talking department, I will help
that's
you.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. I'm sure I'll be fine in a few months.
You'll be better tomorrow.
I will
or
be.
Completely voiceless.
Yeah,
it'll be one of the two.
Let's take bets.
I say you have no voice tomorrow.
I'm leaning that way.
And then by Friday, it'll be back.
I hope so.
It will.
We need it for Friday. It's the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, you were supposed to host it with me last year, too.
I got sick.
But I got Bertrand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, Steve should be on call. Did your lovely wife have a lovely Mother's Day?
Yeah, Mother's Day went off without a hitch. We had a lot of fun yesterday. How about on your end?
I had one of the best Mother's Day is ever.
Yeah?
We went to Brookfield Zoo, my alma mater, not really, but I worked there for many years. My niece Kara and her husband Daniel have two kids, and they decided to go to the zoo on Mother's Day. So my brother and sister-in-law were there, my sister, my cousin, who's also my godmother. So it was a big group of people.
Yeah.
It was perfect timing because you have small kids. Addie's 3 and Micah's 7 months. So they only can make it maybe a couple hours.
Yeah, right.
So it was
That's
a
all.
Quick little trip.
Yeah.
Got to see the polar bears submerge themselves.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a refreshing Nestea commercial. The polar bear just walked right up to the water, just plopped in, went to the bottom, and he just spread his arms and legs and just floated up to the top.
Ah, those polar bears.
It was really cool. Then he was swimming around, but it was really cool to see. And
that's what we may get the girls as a replacement for the rabbit. We're looking at polar bears.
That would be a cool
gift.
That would
be fun, yeah.
And then the boys went out by themselves. Michael drove Dylan, and they went and got me an old-time radio at Goodwill Mother's Day.
What a nice gift.
And a blow-up Corona bottle, an inflatable
Your
Corona
traditional
bottle.
Mother's Day gift.
I rather liked it.
Oh, that's very nice.
They couldn't buy me beer, so they thought they'd buy me an
very
inflatable
nice.
One. And that was it. It was really a lovely day. I love Brookfield Zoo. I forget how much I love it.
Sure. It's a good time. I lost a bet with myself. I was sure that by now, by Monday morning, somebody at the White House would have apologized for the John McCain joke. Like on Friday, I was thinking about it. I go, by the weekend, somebody will come forward and apologize.
That was a joke?
They say it was a joke.
That didn't sound like a joke to me.
A lot of these are the same people
who dying
didn't
anyway.
Find, yeah.
That's not a joke.
See, I don't think it is either, but that's what they're claiming, that it was a joke.
Their opinion of a joke in the White House and our opinion of a joke, two very different things.
Well, where was this sense of humor during the correspondence dinner a few weeks ago when they said nothing was funny? But what now they turn around and the type of joke that they do find amusing is this. But what would it kill somebody in the White House at some level to come forward and go, look, what was said by Kelly Sadler was so outrageously inappropriate and awful, and we just want to extend our apologies. But here we are several days into this, almost a week into this, and that apology has not been made. It's insane.
What was, I don't know who she is, Kelly.
She's a White House aide, a Donald Trump aide.
All right. Why didn't she just come right out and say, you know what, I didn't mean it the way it sounded?
That would make sense. That
I
would
believe
make
she did
perfect
call,
sense.
She did reach out to Meghan McCain.
And said she's going to publicly apologize.
I don't know what came out of it, but I know she apologized to her.
That's just so crappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's crappy about any... It's just all... don't even get me started. I swear I've turned into an old
That's
lady in front of your eyes.
That's your catchphrase. Don't
I
get
missed
me
my
started.
Lips today when I was trying to line them with my lip pencil. I
you really
just
did that?
I did.
No,
I did. I had to wipe it off. I know, but the don't get me started, I really feel terrible. It's like the top office in the country is just being mean and
right.
bullying people, and
right.
I just... You can't do that.
Despite his wife's anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah, that's not going so well, is it?
It's not going real well. But if there's any decency at all, you send somebody out there front and center to go, look, there was a comment that was made and it was inappropriate and we recognize that and we want to extend an apology. John McCain means a lot to this country and we just want to go. And everything I just said is off the top of my head. So they've got these guys that are paid a lot of money to script stuff like this and make it sound official.
And more than one person.
Yeah. So why would it take this long for that to happen?
I don't know. I don't understand. And I don't know what to do anymore.
Do you remember about a week ago, a little over a week ago, there was a story about how John McCain said that he does not want Donald Trump at his funeral. And it got a lot of, not just on our show, but on other shows, people were talking about the fact that somebody who's going through as much as John McCain is going through is having that thought process of who's going to attend the funeral. And he is so adamant he doesn't want the president there. It turns out he was right. Because what...
Don't you think that's why this happened, though?
Oh,
an eye for
boy,
an eye?
I hope not.
I almost think
is
for
Is this a
sure.
revenge move?
Yeah.
Yeah? Ugh. It makes it worse.
Because Donald Trump did not tweet anything about what McCain said about not wanting him to be at his funeral, did he?
This is a guy who tweets about anything.
I know.
All day, every day.
But he, you know, did not tweet anything back after
no.
John McCain said that.
No.
So in my opinion, and I could be totally wrong, but in my opinion, this is a get even revenge.
Maybe. Maybe.
We'll just take him down another way.
Yeah. Horrendous, though.
It's just mean. I am so sick of mean. It works for the movies for Mean Girls and stuff, but that's a comedy.
Not in real life. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you the news. Steve has the news, and then a big full show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
What?
It's sponsored.
My country tis of the sweet land of liberty. Of the... We
I'm
sing,
not sure this is the most British-y sound we could play.
Land where my
you could
God save
brothers
the queen, right?
Died. Is that what this is?
This is God Land. Save the Queen.
Yeah, oh, it
it's
is.
The same melody.
Well, it is exactly the same melody, and I am not British because I have nice teeth,
we stole
so I didn't know.
We took a lot of stuff from them when we quit.
We
One
really
of them was
did.
The melody.
I never realized that's the same song.
I didn't either till just now.
It's like when you realize that the ABC song and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star are the same.
What?
They're the same.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Did you hear that tone in Jasmine? Jasmine did not like that.
She doesn't have time for nonsense,
right.
Steve.
Well, then why is she working with us?
I don't know.
Every day she wakes up and asks that question.
Yeah, you're probably
I
right.
do not.
That's true.
Not every day.
Not Saturday or Sunday. Well, the you know, the royal wedding is it's this weekend, right, Steve?
Why would you ask me
well,
that?
Well, can I just say
yes, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday.
All right, Mary, are you going to get up early and watch it?
Well, it's my daughter's birthday that day, and
that's why they selected it.
So, but you have to get. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning.
So, are you going to DVR it? Because I'm not even going to do that.
I think I will, and I will watch it at some point. Yeah,
could
I think
not
I will.
Care less.
Wendy,
I just want to see the dress. That's it.
Don't even care about that.
And maybe who's the flower girl? Even though it's going to be little Charlotte, I'm sure, and George.
I wonder which members of Meghan Markle's family will attend, because they keep showing the family.
Her brothers
hate her. Everybody's angry at each other.
I just read an article about that today, you might ask. Let's see.
What did they say, Mayor?
They said the father is going to walk her down.
Yeah.
And the mother will be there, of course, because they have
Markle.
A really good... The mother...
This is the Farkle
Doria.
Family?
Doria is the mother.
Yeah.
I forgot the father's name. But she's got like a step-half brother that is in all these problems in jail and everything.
Right. He's the one who said that Harry should not marry her because he's, you know...
He will not be coming.
Yeah, I didn't think he
the
was.
The half-brother
not
and the half-sister were not
yeah,
invited,
exactly.
Right?
Those
two halves make a hole.
Coming.
Why not?
Right.
If I can just say, you know, there's a couple of groups of WGN listeners are going to be going there. In October.
Oh,
Steve Bertrand travel?
No, but in the it's never clear if the chapel is going to be open, but we think we're going to go in where the actual wedding is going to be.
That'd
well,
be
if
very
you're
nice.
There, then I'd check it out. So you should watch it then, Bertrand.
You're not going to watch, Steve?
I don't know. Maybe I've been there. It's a really cool Windsor. It's a very
it's
nice
beautiful.
Little town.
I've been
too,
there,
it's but the little town that
you've been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you traveled
yeah.
there.
Oh yeah, yep.
You're hoity and toity.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
My favorite dwarves.
It's very, very formal feeling. It's.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
you,
it's royal.
You
know, anything royal is.
I guess so. Yeah.
Is Lord going to be singing royal at the wedding?
She'll sing it. Yeah. Yep. They've got her booked.
I thought royal was going to sing Lord.
They haven't decided yet, Steve. They're still working on this. I have found a bunch of British terms, Wendy, that you'll need to know if you're gonna enjoy this to its fullest on Saturday. These are British words and terms that you must know. See if you know these. Steve, you can play along. Mary, you can play along as well. What does bagsy mean in England? If somebody's if something bagsy, what does that mean? Somebody says bagsy.
Sloppy.
See, that's what I would have thought.
It's an adjective?
No.
Oh, it's a noun?
It's just something people shout.
Bagsy.
Like Wendy just did, like that.
I thought it meant sloppy because if you, you know, don't have good luggage and you carry all jewel bags, that's what I thought.
Oh, that's interesting. It's the British way of saying dibs. Like if there's use the example, if there's one cupcake left and you and I see it at the same time, whoever yells bagsy first.
So at the royal wedding, are they going to put coffee tables and card tables and chairs and have bagsies for parking for the wedding?
Yeah, they'll do that.
And when they throw the garter, they'll go, bagsy?
Right, yeah. This is a great preview to Saturday.
Is there any reason for that? Because I don't like it.
It doesn't say the history of it, Wendy. I wish it did, but it does not.
Well, what's dibs?
Dibs is our version.
Right, but what does it stand for?
Oh, yeah, we don't know what that means. We don't know what it means. What is a bog roll? If you're in England and you need a bog roll, B-O-G, what is that?
A bog roll?
Yeah.
A croissant?
No. Oh, great guess, Mayor, but no.
A bog roll.
What would that mean?
Roll of the dice.
Nope. It's toilet paper. It's a roll of toilet paper.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to wipe my bog. Now, where are those bears when I need them?
Do you know why you weren't invited to the royal wedding?
Yes,
on
but
Saturday?
Can I ask why the bears are... There is the cartoon bear issue that they're selling toilet paper. Bears don't use toilet paper.
Wait, I don't
it's
understand.
It's Charmin, I think.
Oh, they're using that
it's
as
a
like
television
their,
commercial, right, and they're that. Talking about how many ply they are.
Right.
You really don't care about the royal wedding, do you?
Apparently not.
It bothers me more that bears are selling toilet paper. That's so stupid.
But they've used bears to sell beer, like Ham's Beer had a
They drink beer. They don't need toilet paper.
There's the phrase about the bears in the woods.
Right. There's that.
Oh, I guess. All right. That's
there's
it.
That's
right.
Why.
Bertrand, you are like my magic eight ball.
Yeah.
You answer all my questions.
What does budge up mean?
Budge up.
No, that's become American now.
What does that mean, Steve?
Cut in line.
If you take a ride on the tube, hopefully no one tells you to budge up. It means to move over.
Mm.
Budge up?
Budge up, yeah. That sounds very British, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Do you want me to finish the rest of them? You have no you voice. I just feel
out?
Bad. Well, let's take a break and all see right. if you can sip your tea. Oh, hello, yeah. Would you like a scone with that?
Yeah, I'm getting budge ready up. For Saturday. All right, more after this. It's Wendy for sure and possibly me on WGN. Now back to WGN's coverage of the royal wedding. Yeah, we're 5 days early. We know. We're all right with that.
Yeah, but this is like our, you know, week before red carpet.
Right.
We're going to check out what right. the weather forecast is going to be. What if it rains?
Oh, it could rain.
On yep. the royal wedding.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Bill has lost his voice a little bit today. So these
and
are...
And my mind.
That's every day. These are some quirky British slang words that every American should know, and we're just trying to get you in British shape before the royal wedding on Saturday. What does it mean if you're cheesed off?
And again, I know this one.
Well, you read this, so you
yeah,
may
know
all
know.
Of them. That cheeses me off.
I already knew that. I knew this long before this was ever
Steve
published.
Steve or Mary, cheesed off.
Well, ticked off.
Honked off. this one's a synonym for annoyed or displeased. This was
angry,
easy.
Yeah. We say that here in the States sometimes.
We don't say cheese. We say something else.
What does cheese have to do with it?
I don't know.
In Wisconsin, I bet they say cheesed off.
Mm-hmm. Don't tarnish the
it's
lovely
America's
name
Dairy
of cheese.
Land.
Yes.
If they're going to get cheese in there, they're going to.
What are chips?
Oh, French fries. Right,
yeah,
fish and
you're
chips.
Probably right.
Fries.
Yeah. If you order fish and chips, don't expect to receive crunchy Lay's on the side. In an eternally confusing switcheroo, Brits call French fries chips and their potato chips crisps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew that.
And,
yeah.
I didn't know they called them crisps.
And what do they call cookies?
Biscuits.
Biscuits?
Yeah. Biscuits and gravy.
And what do they call the queen?
What?
I don't know where to go on this.
Your Royal Highness.
Royal Highness, right.
I thought you could say your royal biscuit.
Your royal biscuit. Royal biscuit, favored to win the Triple Crown this year, by the way.
And
way,
we
Wendy.
Can bet on that now down
yep.
the street legally.
Yep.
All right, this is a funny word. Chock-a-block.
Full. Like
oh,
full
chock-a-block.
Of?
What did you say, Steve?
Like full of?
Yes.
How'd you know that, Steve? That's amazing.
Like chock full yeah. of.
That's pretty common.
Steve's wow. very worldly.
I we'll guess.
All over. Steve Bertrand Travel takes him
yeah.
oh,
yeah,
all
yeah,
the
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah this one's just fun to say. Chock-a-block. The sidewalk outside of the Lindo Wing was chock-a-block or full of reporters during the birth of the royal
well,
baby.
I like that. I'm going to start saying that when my voice comes back.
It said blaby.
Blaby. What does that mean? What does that mean in Great Britain?
It's a British term for baby. I just said
blaby.
It wrong. Again,
baby.
These are British terms that we Americans should all know, and this is in honor of the wedding. This is easy. Dishy.
Oh, that's like cheeky, right?
Well, I don't know what cheeky means. So.
Dishy.
Cutesy? Well,
yeah.
No, it's like good looking? It's gossip.
Oh, is it?
Oh, no, Mary's no? right. It's good looking.
Huh. Yeah.
Like David Beckham is dishy.
Yes.
Like a dish.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Dosh. D-O-S-H.
Someone who was good looking.
I like the way you think. No. Benjamins and bucks describe U.S. currency. Refer to pounds as dosh or bread when you're paying up during your U.K. trip.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
How much dosh?
I've never heard of that.
Have you
really?
Heard of that, Steve?
No.
Mary, have you been to England at all?
No.
All right, so the boys have, we have not.
Steve and I go to England together every 6 weeks.
In fact, that's the first time we saw Aerosmith.
Yeah, it was in England.
Not Aerosmith. Who am I thinking?
At Wembley Stadium.
No.
Air Supply?
Air Supply.
Yeah, we saw them at work.
Are you going to use the Air Supply joke all the time?
Not
we're
forever,
going.
But
Steve and I are going. We decided.
We have Yes tickets to give away. That is something that's more important. This is something I love. My Kip. K-I-P.
Oh, this one might not be for air.
Your doggy.
Nope.
Oh.
Your food?
Nope.
You love your Kip.
Especially on a rainy day.
Your wine.
Nope.
Your beer.
Nope.
Your blanket.
Close.
Your marijuana.
Is it? Oh.
Your
is that
gardening.
What it is, Wendy?
Oh. My bed.
No, don't say it. I'll get it. Your
heroin.
Bed.
Is it heroin?
No.
Jet lag got you feeling groggy? You'll want to head for the Kip, which is your bed, ASAP. You can also use it as a verb, meaning to sleep or nap. I have to take a Kip.
I don't think there's guys named Kip
that
anymore, are there?
Not good at all.
Remember in the 70s, every once in a while, you'd run into a guy and his name was Kip?
Kip Winger.
Oh, Kip Winger. Yeah, but that was like the beginning of the end.
I know a couple Kips.
Do I know
you really?
A Kip.
Yeah. Modern day Kips?
No.
Modern day Kips?
Well, they're older. It's not like a young Kipper.
Kipadada.
Wow.
That one keeps coming back, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Demento.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who I can think of named.
Kip Winger.
Yeah, Kip Winger. But when was, I mean, there's no kid in your kid's school named Kip. That's
no.
That's over, right? That's done.
Famous Kips for 30, Alex.
Isn't there a writer Kip?
Probably, but I don't know who, Mayor, but
no,
maybe.
Me either, apparently.
Soap opera actor Kip Pardue. He's 42.
Oh, Kip Pardue, of course. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know anybody.
But that's it. They stopped making them.
Kip Wells is a baseball player with the Cardinals.
Still current?
He's 41.
Oh, so probably not current.
Kip Moore,
some
country singer.
But how old is he?
38.
That's what I'm saying. That was the end. Like right around 38 years ago, they go, okay, you get one more Kip and then we're done. No more.
Yeah, I guess that's not a good name.
Yeah.
All right, knackered.
Tired.
Drunk.
Tired and drunk.
Bill wins.
Yeah.
Like, similarly, knackered is the colloquial way of saying tired. Example,
yeah.
We bet the Duchess of Cambridge is feeling especially knackered these days with a newborn and two toddlers around.
But to Mary's credit,
knackered.
It should be...
Schnockered.
Yeah, it should be drunk.
Well, no, it's, schnockered is drunk, knackered is tired.
But they sound, I mean, they're similar enough.
It just sounds like it should be drunk.
Even though I got that one right, I want Mary to get the point on that one.
Thank you.
You really know your onions.
What does that mean?
Does anybody know?
No.
You really know your onions.
Your stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got full marks on your math test? You must really know your onions. While it sounds smelly, this phrase actually serves as a compliment, meaning knowledgeable or clever.
Oh. All right.
You know your onions.
I'm going to start saying that.
That's another one, though, maths, right? They don't say, it's how are you doing in your numbers? It's your maths.
Oh, right. In England, yeah.
Did you learn that in hospital?
On holiday.
Legless.
Oh, that's someone without any legs.
That's not funny, Wendy.
Wendy, that's not funny at all.
You know what's funny is I want to file that one under duh. No.
In England, they get right to the point.
No.
If you don't have any legs, they say, well, there's a legless guy. They're
Mary,
not kidding around.
What you said for the last one would be this one.
Drunk?
Yes. Down a few too many pints at the pub, and you'll stumble on home looking a bit legless.
Oh.
Oh.
That makes sense.
No, you'll still have both your legs. You're just drunk.
Right.
I'm legless.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds dumb.
And plastered.
Be a better word for it.
Plastered
legless.
Is another one.
It's also drunk, right?
Tipsy, plastered, sloshed, wankered, or trolleyed.
It seems like in Great Britain they have a lot of euphemisms for being drunk.
Or for the wanker.
Or for the, yeah. Yeah. John Thomas is my favorite one.
Oh,
that one always makes me laugh. Anytime a British guy says John Thomas, I just laugh. I can't help it. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill and that's Wendy. Welcome to the show. On Saturday, I was a guest on Jimmy Pardo's podcast.
He's we got should this... call him and I'm going to thank him for blowing out your voice.
I don't think he did it.
Really?
I don't think he did it.
Peter Brady?
It was... You know, I always sound like that anyway, so it's just a different version of that.
I guess.
Jimmy's been doing this podcast for years. It's called Never Not Funny. I've known him since high school. He was originally, Jimmy was a friend of my brother's, and then I met him.
And stole him.
And I stole him away from my brother.
How does your brother feel about
this? Not happy. He's not happy. But Jimmy does this.
So Jimmy's younger than you?
He's a year younger than me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You actually look younger than he does. How about that?
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very kind
of
you. Don't
tell him
I
said that.
That's very kind of you. So before the show, he did two versions of the podcast. He did the first one, and Brian Noonan came, and he was the guest, and he did very well.
That was Never Not Funny.
Never Not Funny. And then I do his other one that's a version of Never Not Funny, but it has a game show element.
Playing
to it.
Games.
Right.
You can find all of them at pardcast.com.
Yeah.
And you are on Playing Games, right?
Yeah, that's the one I did. So what happens is the show's about an hour and a half. He comes out and talks for a while. Then Jimmy brings his friend Matt out, and they talk. And then I come out, and we all talk. And then at the end, we play a game. So before the show started, Jimmy said, hey, the way the game show works is... and Jimmy has hosted game shows. He's been a game show host. He's very funny. And
like
very
legit,
good at it.
On
yeah,
TV.
On TV. So he said... Can you do me a favor? He goes, I know you're very competitive, and you know that to be true. I am very competitive.
Terribly.
I'm awful. So he said, we have these prizes that are actually pretty good prizes. Sponsors have donated these prizes, and we love for it to end with somebody winning the prizes. So in the last round, it'll be you and a contestant, because they start out with three contestants, and then after one round, whoever has the lowest score leaves, and then in the second round, whoever scores the lowest, they leave. So it's just down to... a contestant versus me. And if the contestant wins, he gets a whole cadre of prizes. And if I win, nothing happens, right? So he goes, we would really like the contestant to win. Would you mind throwing the game a little bit?
Why are they asking you to do that?
Because I think he knows how competitive I am, and he wanted to prepare me for that.
But it, once you know, I don't see you doing that at all.
But I wanted this guy to win, and I don't want the show to look bad. And I said, yeah, I'll throw it. Yeah.
You are growing up.
I swear there was a time I wouldn't have done that.
I know that. I'm surprised this time is now that you would.
So I was going to do it. So there are five questions. And what they do is they take the other contestant off and they ask me these five questions, these trivia questions. And then they ask the other guy the five. So I figure if I'm going to throw it, I'm going to throw it. And I purposely miss all five questions. And I look like a doofus in the process because the questions aren't that hard.
All right.
Like, I'll give you an example. After winning, I don't remember what the exact number was. Let's say it's seven, but I might be off. After winning seven medals in the last Olympics, he is now considered to be the top gold medal winner in the history of the Olympics. Who would that be? You don't know?
I don't know.
It's Michael Phelps.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
But
I
knew.
Okay, sorry.
I wanted
didn't
this
work
guy to
me.
Win all the prizes. So I, who did I say? I said Bruce Jenner.
Like, that's who I almost said.
Oh, well. So on all five, I purposely answered wrong so this guy would win the prizes. So when the show is over, because he got four out of the five and I got zero out of the five,
right.
Which was my goal.
And that's better to get them all wrong than to,
to make it
right. Nail-biting close.
So the show is over and I say my goodbyes to everybody and then I'm heading out to where the parking lot is. And this guy and his wife come up and they go, hey, we hear you on the radio with Wendy all the time. And I go, oh, thanks. And he goes, so all that trivia you pretend to know on the show, that's just a fake, right? You've got the answers in front of you. I go, no, why would you say that? He goes, oh, we watched the show. You didn't know anything. You didn't know that Bruce Jenner. And I go, no, I was just, I was a method. And he goes, oh, okay, like that. But they don't believe me. Then I get on the elevator to go to the parking and there's two women and a guy. And they go, hey, you're the same Bill from the radio, right? And I go, yeah, why? And they go, because that Bill knows stuff, but you didn't seem to know anything up there. And I go, I was acting. And they go, all right. But nobody believed it.
See, there's a flaw with this. They shouldn't have asked you to do that because I agree with the listeners. Part of your charm is the crap you know about crap.
But I wanted this guy to walk away.
Know,
he got a watch. He got a really nice watch.
Okay,
he got a bunch
of but there has to be a different way. I mean, really, part of you is knowing things and being competitive. Why couldn't you have won and then just given it to him?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because now I'm on the listener's side. Like, that is...
Oh,
that's
I didn't
not,
even think
you,
about
you weren't
that.
Being true to yourself.
Well, I guess. But I mean, the most important thing was
to get the guy to win
the prizes. So I, you know, when Jimmy said, "So please, just, you know," he didn't use the words "throw it," but he said, "If you could not answer correctly," which is the same, I guess.
Yeah, but see, that's the part of this should have been worked out beforehand.
Well, I said to one of the other guys who was backstage, I go, "Should I have made it closer?" And he goes, "No, I think it was really funny the way," he goes, "because everybody knew the answers to those except you."
Right.
But
that's why you did it the best way. But I think that was, it should have been handled differently. Like, you know, let's say, I don't know what the guy's name was, but you're playing against Bill Left. This is going to be, you know, the toughest challenge you'll ever come across. It's not really fair. So I'll tell you what, we'll give you the prizes too. That could have been something at the end.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
You're a great actor. I'll tell you that. I've seen Major League and Major League 2.
By the second one, they were laughing at my answers, which was kind of my goal.
Right. Because
I couldn't have been more wrong. But enough people went, "Wow, you on the radio, you seem like you know that stuff. But then in real life, you folded." You know,
listeners, he doesn't seem to know that stuff. He does know that stuff.
If it's trivial and unimportant, it sticks to my brain. If it's important stuff, it just goes right through me, you know?
Yeah, I feel bad that you couldn't be true to yourself. That's what bugs me.
The whole thing
I would
was,
never have you do so. I mean, if we're goofing around and doing a skit or something, but this was like supposed to be you.
Jimmy whispered to me, like after I purposely missed all five, he goes, "You knew those, right?" And I just looked at him like, of course I knew those. So I even fooled him. But in the end, the guy won all the great prizes, so I was thrilled for him. You know,
that's like saying to him, "Don't be snippy for 5 minutes." You know what I mean? That's what he does.
Right? I know. I know.
I mean, whatever. It's just if you do this again, I think you should be able to be yourself.
I think after my poor showing in the trivia portion of the show, I don't know that he'll ever ask me again because that's the reason he brought me out. But then I buckled.
I don't like that he did that to you.
No, he didn't know. His intentions were,
I know, it wasn't
so pure.
They totally were.
And I think in his mind, because I wasn't sure on how close he wanted it to be, so I'm like, if I get one or two right, is that too many? So I go, I'll just, what difference does it make?
I'm proud of you. You did the right thing. And that is the key, to have the listener win.
Right.
But you also, see, that's the thing with these podcasts, and especially Jimmy Pardo's, it's getting to know people like, for who they are.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's like,
but the rest of it was all so great.
Yeah.
But then in the end, they go, you could just see the audience go, wow, this guy doesn't know much. But I did.
And that is that would bother you more than anything on earth.
Can I tell you, honestly, I kind of felt good about it because I went, maybe I'm a better actor than I thought I was, because so many people were like, wow, he didn't get any of them right. You know,
I said you're a good actor, but I feel bad because you would rather like somebody could criticize anything. Like, I don't like your car, or your shoes are stupid.
Right.
But if they think you don't know trivia, that would bother you more.
One of the questions was, this presidential candidate ended up being a spokesperson for Viagra. So do you know who that is?
I don't know, you'll remember it.
It was Bob Dole.
Oh, yeah.
So I either said Lyndon Johnson or Richard Nixon. So that was like the first or second question. So early on, everybody's laughing. But then by the fifth, when I went 0-for-5, people are like, oh, check his pulse. Something's wrong with him.
These are tough questions. I forgot. I just remember him holding the pencil. Was that part of the commercial?
Maybe it was. All right. We'll take a quick break. But first,
if you can get through it,
I'm going to do my best to get through this.
Are you
ready? Let's see how this sounds.
Did you start smoking over the weekend?
Yeah. Tipperillos. I had a dozen Tipperillos over the weekend.
I have to tell you this. I cannot stop watching Access TV. AX TV. I think that's it. The Eddie Money show is there.
I don't know that my satellite provider even has that. Do they?
I'm sure they do.
I've never heard of it until this.
Well, we had Eddie Money on,
yeah.
And he was talking about the show, which I have just... They have him golfing with his psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And Eddie's philosophy on that is, if I pay for the golf game, I can spend a lot of time with them, and I don't have to pay a copayment.
That's a smart move.
It is.
That's very smart.
And the way, you know, medical bills are, it's probably cheaper to treat the guy to a game of golf
Yeah.
than it
an
is...
office visit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So every time I, there are so many specials and then the Dan Rather big interview show. And it's like, I'm telling you, I have been sucked into this television station, mm-hmm. Access TV. And I saw them advertising, Yes is coming to town. And it's funny because we as a family want to all go see Yes. And it's weird because now we have Yes tickets to give away. We have a pair of tickets to hear the hits of the 70s with Yes live in concert.
Are these all original members? Do you know?
I wonder. That's what I was trying to look up.
Or has Sammy Hagar replaced some of them?
No, but he has a show too on Access TV. It's Sammy's Road Trip, and he goes and he, you know, everybody makes fun of Nickelback.
Yeah, everyone does.
He had them on, and they were kind of all making fun of each other together.
Oh, they were?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's a 50th anniversary tour for Yes. Steve Howe, original.
Yeah.
Alan White, original. And that might be it.
Oh.
Keyboardist Jeff Downs, bassist Billy. Steve Howe's longtime guitarist. I think that's it.
They've been together for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I went through a Yes phase. I really loved their Owner of a Lonely Heart album. It wasn't 90210. That was the show.
Right. What was it?
What was the show?
90210. Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay. Then the Yes album was
a similar zip code? Is it?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but that's...
I mean, only go as deep as Owner of a Lonely Heart. I know they had other hits. I just can't... I don't know what they are. But they do have a nice sound.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, it's prog rock. It's 90125 was their album. But then, you know, I've seen All Good People, Roundabout.
These are songs you've heard. How did I forget that? I forgot about Roundabout. That's a good song.
Yeah, and I mean, you used to listen to WLS and WCFL, and they were totally always played on there. I mean, their harmonies are amazing, and we have a pair of tickets if I haven't taken them.
Oh.
A pair of tickets to hear the hits of the 70s with Yes. They're live in concert. It's happening Friday, June 8th. It's the Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. We actually saw the ad come up for this, and we thought, oh, maybe we should rent something for the weekend in New Buffalo and go see it. But you guys can do it. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. We have a pair of Yes tickets right now. Two tickets, one pair, and what caller do you want them to be?
Two, because I can only name two of their songs.
You just named more of them.
I just named two.
312.
Roundabout and Owner of a Lonely Heart. Those are the only ones I know.
Do you remember Leave It? Oh, my God.
What
is
that?
Yes, you do. 312-981-7200. Jasmine, we're going to do caller number two. And,
Leave It on a jet plane? That one?
You know that. It's like a cappella.
I don't recognize any of that.
Hang on.
This was a top 40 hit?
Oh, yeah.
Was
totally.
It?
Yeah. You will know this in a minute. And there's several versions of it while we're waiting for this to load. Diane, you were caller number two. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. John, Indiana, Wendy.
And are you a Yes fan?
I am, especially my husband. He loves 70 music, and actually, his birthday is the weekend of the Yes concert. That's at New Buffalo.
Right.
Four Winds.
Hey, now listen. Diane, listen to this song for a minute and tell me if you remember it, and I'll bet you $5 you'll remember it, Bill.
Oh, I hope so.
I do know this. Yeah, I know this.
It's a really cool song.
Diane, I was in a Yes tribute band called Yes, No, Maybe So. Do you remember that band?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
That hurts my feelings.
All right. Well, Diane, you have a pair of tickets. We will set you up, and you're going to go to the Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, Michigan, and it's all happening Friday, June 8th. We'll probably see you there.
Bill and Wendy, I love your show.
Thank you, Diane.
Hang on.
Isn't that nice?
You were making fun of Yes this morning.
Now the more I hear, the more I like. I always liked them. I couldn't.
But see, you're like, oh, what you said something like the 70s called, they want your pants back.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't. But this is all the music that I absolutely love.
The 70s called, and want your pants back. I'm going to say, at some point today, I'm going to say that to somebody to see what kind of reaction I get.
All right. Well, congratulations to Diane, St. John, Indiana. I don't know if I put her on hold, Jasmine, but you can set her up. These people want...
Yeah.
It just brings you back to a time where...
A simpler time.
No, to just like, you know, like Aerosmith. I remember making out with guys in Vicky Venturella's basement.
Yep.
Dream On. That's what I think of when I think of that song.
Yep.
Yes songs, I can't say on the air. What happened? Wow. Just let's say Leave It was appropriate.
Wow. Wendy, we must take a break.
Yes.
And then the controversial Eric Zorn joins us. He was in some interesting hot water this week.
That's right. I forgot about it.
We'll talk to him about that. Stick around. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Not just Eric Zorn, but the controversial Eric Zorn. Eric, you had an interesting week.
An interesting week? Yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's the Mayor Daily thing. I wonder what you're talking about. We tried to contact you
and you were too busy for us.
I was out of town, I think. Yeah. I was heading out of town.
You had to leave town.
Well,
it was so controversial.
Just what happened in a nutshell is a couple weeks ago, Mayor Emanuel gave a interview to a competing radio station, Brand X in town.
Yep.
And he said something like, you know, I've been really trying to dig out of a hole that was left to me when I took office 7 years ago. And after this, Fran Spielman at the Sun-Times called Bill Daley and said, you know, Bill Daley called her. In any case, it ended up in the Sun-Times. Bill Daley told Mayor Emanuel to put his big boy pants on and start dealing with the problems that he has rather than looking back 7 years. So, you know, come on, you own these problems now. And there's been this thing about...
I don't know that I disagree with Bill Daley on that.
Well, let me flesh this out. So this has been sort of the strange truce that has been in place between the Daleys and the Emanuels over the years, or Rahm and the Daleys, which is that he never mentions Richard M. Daley by name. And Richard M. Daley was mayor for, what, 22 years up until, 2011 that he was sworn in? Or was it 2012 when he was sworn? Anyway, whenever he was sworn, whenever Emanuel was actually sworn in. And there was a lot of problems that were left behind. The parking meter deal is the classic one that everyone talks about. But, you know, there was CPS pensions were in real trouble because of some stuff that Daley had done. There's some parking deals having to do with Millennium Park and the garages there. A lot of problems that were left behind for Emanuel to deal with. He never mentioned Daley by name, but Daley had kicked a lot of cans down the road. So I wrote a column saying, basically, you know, if Rahm's got to put on his big boy pants, then Mayor Richard M. Daley's got to put on the hair shirt to atone for the big flaming pile of excrement that he left behind on the desk when he left office for Mayor Emanuel 7 years ago. And so, you know, I wrote this column sort of going through some of the things that had been left behind. And then Bill Daley, the mayor's brother, wrote a column that was got prominent play in the Tribune, basically saying, sticking up for his brother, saying he wasn't perfect, but, you know, let's set the record straight. The parking meter deal was a good idea, and the Olympic bid was a good idea, and all these things. He was basically saying that all these things were good ideas.
That's a good brother, though, defending your brother.
And that's where we are right now. I mean, I'm thinking that it may be fun for Bill Daley and I to do some sort of a debate.
We wanted you both on the air at the same time.
But I was out of town hiding, so.
I like Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I'm not criticizing him at all. I also like what Mayor Daley did with these flower beds. He's made Michigan Avenue absolutely beautiful. The parks here, there are good things, too.
With the fences all around. No, there was definitely some good things that Mayor Daley did, but there were some problems that he left behind. And Mayor Emanuel has had to deal with those and been trying to deal with those. And I'm not saying that he's done everything perfectly either. He kicked some cans down the road in his first 4 years. But I just think that it is a very strange little dance that they've been doing all these years, saying, well, you know, Mayor Emanuel sort of saying, well, there are problems, but I'm not going to say who started them or where they came from.
But all you have to do is connect the dots.
But you just have to connect the dots and do that. So actually, who should be debating should be Mayor Emanuel and former Mayor Daley.
Right.
Eric, here's what I've noticed. It's inevitable when you take office, whether you're taking the office of being the mayor or the president, you name the office, when you take the office, there's some problems that have been left behind by whoever held the office previously. So normally, if they're of the same background as you, if it's a Democrat into a Democrat, right, or a Republican into a Republican, you kind of don't mention the person's name. But if it's the opposite, you always mention the person's name.
Right. And there's, and one of the comparisons that Bill Daley made was, he talked about Obama looking back and blaming Bush for Iraq 7 years later.
Yeah.
And my take on that is, well, he should be blaming George Bush for Iraq. He should have been blaming him for Iraq. We should still be blaming George Bush for Iraq.
Right.
You can't say, well, yeah, you had 7 years to clean up that mess that we started when we came in and we toppled the government and set the whole, Middle East on fire, basically. So you've got, there are problems that come back like this that haunt administrations. And I don't think there's any real problem in being candid about talking about them, about what the problems are.
Yeah.
And when J.B. Pritzker becomes governor, he's going to have to deal with a big, if he becomes governor, there's going to be a big mountain of problems, sure, that he's going to have to deal with. And some of those are arguably caused by the Democrats. They are caused by the Democrats.
Right.
So, I don't think it's so unfair to look back and evaluate someone, fairly like that. I just thought it was really, unsporting of the Dailies to say, well, Mayor Daley did all these good things and he didn't leave a mess for Emanuel to clean up. So anyway, so that's where it stands right now.
What happens if you go to an event and Mayor Daley or his brother Bill Daley are there? Is that an uncomfortable room for you to be in, or how do you handle it if you see them anytime soon?
I mean, in comfortable situations like that, quite a bit. I mean, the most obvious one that happens, I criticize Governor Rauner all the time, and he comes into the Tribune editorial board a couple times a year to meet, and he's always cordial.
He
always
is cordial, good.
And he was calling me easy, which I kind of liked. It was friendly.
That because of your initials, I hope.
Well, yes, I think so. Yeah.
All right, good.
But so when we are in the same room together, I think everyone realizes that there's a certain amount of, this is not, we're not going to break into fisticuffs and talk
right
about it. But I look forward to debating people. I like the jousting.
And don't
ideas.
You admire a guy sticking up for his brother? Don't you admire a guy?
Like,
go, you can't say something bad about my brother. Come on.
I made fun of him a little bit. I said, my sister's going to write a rebuttal.
He calls her easy, you got a fight on your hands.
I thought it might have been better for him. Yeah, that would have been a problem. I would have to punch him in the nose for that. I think it probably would have been better for him to have somebody, David Axelrod or someone like that. Someone else. It does look a little bit like, you insulted my brother. But,
right.
that was his decision, the family's decision. So, yeah, I think I'm going to suggest to him that maybe we do something, on the radio, or maybe in front of the...
You feel like doing it here, we'd love to have it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Go commercial free for a couple hours.
You just have to figure out an undercard fight.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can get.
The Blair Kamen versus Donald Trump.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
How about that?
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy at WGN. Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, who's been traveling a lot recently and has some hotel stories to share with us.
I have several hotel stories. First of all, has this ever happened to you? You check into a hotel and they give you the key cards, you go up to the room, and you go in, and there's somebody there already?
Oh, no, that's
that
never happened.
That has never happened to me.
It was surprising to me. It's happened to us when we were traveling through Ohio, and they had just messed up at the front desk and gave away our room, and they had to actually find another hotel for us.
Yeah.
But it was like walking into the room, and fortunately, the guy was just sitting there watching TV on his bed. Think, imagine what you might have found.
What? How? What was his reaction like?
He was surprisingly calm about it. I would have been a little bit angrier. The front desk had to call him. He didn't call the front desk and say, what are you doing sending people up to my room? So it was some sort of major mess up. And what I don't understand about that is, you think that hotels would have, like, a computer system would, as soon as they tried to give us the keys to room 210, that the system would have like gone whoop whoop whoop,
right?
Somebody's already in there,
right?
Don't do that.
Occupied, you'd think an occupied.
I mean, this seems like something that would have happened in the old days, but not now. Another thing that happened was that in the hotel room, how when they have a single shower curtain, and when they make up the room, they have it so it hangs outside the tub, for some reason, and I'm used to having the shower curtain inside the tub, and so in my haze in the morning, I get in the shower, and I don't put the shower curtain inside the tub. I just, close the shower curtain, and I get out, and I've flooded the bathroom floor.
No.
That's your fault. You should know to put it in.
Well, this is, I put this on Facebook, and there were a lot of people who were saying, this is your fault. Why aren't you looking at this? And they're right. It is my fault. I should have looked, I suppose, but, it it's one of those things like, why would they do that? Why would the person make
it
up
looks
their
prettier?
Room? It looks better. Yep. There you go. So that's it.
You're such a guy.
And that's like, I would have it on the inside. I wonder how many times a day this happens.
You should have stayed with the guy who was watching TV when you walked in, because he was really careful about the shower curtain. It would have worked out perfectly.
He was. So I'm on the warpath about that. So and the final thing that happened at the same hotel, we went down for breakfast the next morning at the
Continental breakfast.
It was a Continental breakfast. Yeah.
The nice. Waffle.
The lobby waffle.
Just like they have in other continents.
Flip the thing. Usually they don't have it in this continent, but more and more common. I guess maybe the places I stay, you know, because I think fancier hotels, you have to buy your breakfast and you have to actually get, you know. But this, you know, the thing with a little chafing
dishes, adequate.
You know, it's fine. It's really good. And we always, you know, for the last 10, 15 years, I've been leaving tips for the person who makes up the room, the housekeeper. I feel like, you know, I know these people are not paid well.
Right.
And whether they do a good job is, I mean, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
And, you know,
what are you leaving? How much are you leaving?
We leave $5.
$5 a day or total?
$5 a night.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
No.
We've left more.
More on
that. That's too much.
But my argument with my wife is that I noticed that, like, in the last place we stayed in Mexico, it was a different woman who came in every day.
Oh, no, yeah.
Always last woman just got a week's worth of tips for doing the room once.
And that came up on the show, and that's why Eric said, do you leave individual $5
a day? I leave
it
each night we leave.
That makes sense.
For the person who makes it
up. And, you know, you may not catch the person who made up the room before you the night before, but then, you know, it pays forward, I guess, in some ways.
Because you're right, Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know how common this is. I don't know how people do this very often. And I just feel, and I know these people work really hard.
I've seen them.
And so we always leave. But anyway, so we're at the breakfast buffet, and I've realized in the last, like, 6 months or so that the people who are working these breakfast bars, the people who are restocking all the food that runs out and they're running around and the orange juice is out, the milk is out, that they're working hard. It's restaurant work.
Sure.
And there's no provision in most places for a tip for
them.
So we've been going back in the little kitchen area and, like, leaving some bills for them. Usually, I think we left, like, $4 each time. But that just seems like something to do. And I put this on Facebook, and there's this you know, real contradictory emotions people have. Some people say, like, well, these people aren't they're not paid as tipped employees. Like, you have to tip. I mean, unless you're just a monster, you have to tip wait staff at a restaurant because they're paid sub-minimum wage. They're paid, I think it's like, was it $2.50 an hour? I don't even know what it is.
But
it's really, really small because the everyone knows that they get tips, so they feel like this is just a bare little bit of money to get you started, but they earn their money on tips. The people who are cleaning your room and the people who are stocking your breakfast bar and those things, those people are probably paid minimum wage or a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's really hard work. And when they do a good job, when they're making sure that the scum is clean from around the waffle maker.
And the top of the oatmeal.
And I mean, those places get pretty nasty pretty fast. And this one place we were in Elyria, Ohio, she was working so hard because the place was really crowded. She was alone. And I was thinking, like, why isn't it just standard to tip somebody like that? People at the coffee bar put out, I think, just for filling your cup for coffee.
That's ridiculous. And,
Eric, when we were in Mexico, we were there in January, just a couple of weeks after both my daughter's birthday. So we get a knock at the door on one of the nights, and it's two people from the hotel, and they've got a dozen helium balloons and a box, which we assume is cake, right? And it was cake. It was birthday cake. So it was happy birthday all around. I gave them $20. They leave. We open up the cake, and it says, happy birthday, Colleen, which none of us are named Colleen.
Kylie?
We were thinking that. We were also trying to figure out how they knew it was the girl's birthday. We thought a relative may have called and said, we've got them staying there. It was their birthday a few weeks ago. So we call downstairs. They had brought it to the wrong room. But when they came back to get it, I said to my wife, I can't ask for the 20 back, can I? And she goes, absolutely not. So we kind of tipped them to give us a cake we had to return and balloons we had to return.
Wow.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for
that back.
There's
no way you could ask for that back, right?
From now on, what we've learned from Bill Leff is check the cake.
Check the cake first.
And if it applies, then tip them.
Then you tip.
Bring the cannoli.
Right. Take the gun, leave the cannoli.
I guess it would be fine to say, if it's a surprise delivery, you could say, who requested this? May I ask?
Right,
that's what you should do.
Well, they said a bunch.
$20 you gave them.
That's all I had.
I wasn't expecting. I reached in. I get Wendy, as you know, I get $20 a day.
So he only has
even
20
on vacation.
This is your allowance.
Yes,
I get $20 a day. So I gave them all I had.
He got your allowance, your whole allowance.
Yeah, yeah.
I always, whenever we go on trips like this, I always try to make sure that I have a lot of fives.
Terry said in Mexico I should get 20 pesos a day, but that's not a lot of money.
That's not much. That's like 20 cents, isn't
it? You can't survive on that in Mexico.
You should move to Mexico because your 20 bucks will go way farther.
I'd be rich. I would be the wealthiest guy in all of Mexico.
But you know, there are all these questions about when you tip.
Yeah.
And they go beyond. I mean, one of the people who I think should be tipped, and this would be annoying, so people don't want to do it, but the people who bag your groceries.
They should be tipped.
No, that's a fun job. I want to do that someday. That's my goal job.
The reason I say that is that people who do that, if they do it well,
yeah,
it's really important. It's important they don't put like, we'll put the bread on the bottom, then we'll put the orange juice on top of the bread. I mean, the people who pack your bags well, it's an important thing, right? Wendy's rolling her eyes.
But they're just doing that to make it to training so they can be the cashier.
Yeah, you're probably right, because those cashiers, I think, get paid pretty well.
What about, if you go to Baskin-Robbins or an ice cream place, there's always a tip jar out now. Do you give them any money?
Stop it. There shouldn't be tip jars.
Yeah, well, see, I think, in some ways I agree with Wendy that some of these places are just, this is the standard service that put an ice cream in a cone.
Right.
And the tip jar is this sort of somewhat new thing, right?
I hate it.
And if you're everywhere you're going, you're being nickel and dime for tips. That's annoying. On the other hand, there are people who, really do, when they do go the extra mile, when they do work hard, a little something for them is nice. So.
What about a bus driver? Does anybody tip a bus driver? Because they sure deserve it.
I always thank my bus driver.
No, that's not
a airline tip. I know. It's not the
airline
same.
Pilot.
But I've never heard anybody else thanking the bus driver. I get up there and say thank you.
I always say thank you.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. See, yeah. I mean,
and then I flip him a quarter.
Here's a little sum for the effort.
I bite it first.
Right. Shoeshine boy, you're humble and lovable.
Yes.
Don't spend this all in one place.
Yep, absolutely.
But they should be tipped. Bus drivers, school bus drivers. Yeah. How about that?
Oh, they should definitely.
Certainly at like a Christmas, right? Yeah. You should give them a...
How about radio show hosts or newspaper columnists?
Yes, come on.
They absolutely. Should definitely be tipped.
That would be the right thing to do.
No doubt about it. That's Eric Zorn, everybody. He's in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.